You know, I think Christmas is the most wonderful time of the year because it only ever comes around just once a year. Try as we might, we simply can't recreate this season during any other time of the year. And because we can't, our anticipation for this happy and holy season builds and builds all year long until finally, once again, we find ourselves back where we've longed to be, Christmas. Now, even though Christmas does seem to come earlier and earlier each year, we still have to wait for it. And that's not always easy. If we're being brutally honest with ourselves, it's hard for us to be patient. It's hard to sit around waiting for something that we want with every fiber of our being. But at the same time, isn't it the waiting and the anticipation that makes this season of the year so special in the first place? Because as we wait for Christmas, we start asking ourselves just why it is that we're so excited for it in the first place. Whether we're looking for it or not, waiting invites us to experience self-reflection. It brings into focus what we long for the most, and it prepares our souls to receive those things with a thankful and grateful heart. Through the Advent season, we come together to wait once more. And as we do, we're preparing all of who we are to receive the greatest gift of all, the gift of Jesus Christ. As we enter this season of anticipation once more, our new sermon series, Learning to Wait, will lead us to consider how we can wait well. And that's especially important given how little respect waiting has in our world today. Because think about it. We live in a world of instant gratification, which tells us that all the things worth having are already right there at our fingertips. But as God tells us through the Christmas story, some things are simply worth waiting for. So today we'll begin our sermon series by focusing on unexpected arrivals that you have to just wait for. Because when you're not waiting and keeping watch, you might just miss what it is that you've been waiting for all this time. And to make sure that doesn't happen, let's reflect on today's scripture out of Matthew 24 and see how all of us can faithfully and patiently wait for what God has in store for us. Before we begin, would you join me in a word of prayer? God, we thank you for your holy word and how it leads us closer to you. As we think about our scripture this morning, speak to our hearts, our minds, and our souls. Reveal to us what you want us to know and help us to live it out as faithfully as we can. Transform us by the renewing of our minds and lead us closer to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, instead of starting our sermon today by focusing on a scripture out of the Christmas story, which focuses on the birth of Christ, we're actually starting with a passage of scripture that speaks of his return. Here in Matthew 24, Jesus is nearing the end of his earthly ministry. And as he does, he's preparing his disciples for what comes next as they get ready to witness his death, his resurrection, and his ascension into heaven. From all of these events will soon come another season of anticipation as the world awaits Christ's return and with it the fullness of God's kingdom. Now, just as there had been all sorts of prophecies and expectations surrounding his birth, Christ knew that there would be even more expectations and prophecies surrounding his eventual return. And if you listen to some of these crackpot theologians and televangelists out there, they've got a lot to say about how, when, and where Christ will ultimately return. But of course, none of us know, and we can never know. As Jesus tells us himself in verse 36, "But about that day or hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father." Now, unless we're God, we don't know when and how Christ will return. So instead of doing our best to do something we can't do, it's probably better if we turn our attention to something we can do. And what we can do, Christ says, is watch and wait for his return so that we can be prepared for him. Now, watching and waiting is more or less ingrained into our DNA as people of faith. The Hebrew slaves had to watch and wait for generations before God worked through Moses to rescue their people and lead them into the promised land. The Israelites had to watch and wait for their deliverance from devastation after devastation and exile after exile. And in the years leading up to Christ's birth, the whole world waited with bated breath for the Messiah's arrival. Good things come to those who wait. And as the witness of Scripture confirms time and time again, God is faithful to those who wait on him. As we hear in Psalm 27:14, wait for the Lord and be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Now, every one of us could probably recount times in our lives where we too had to wait on the Lord for something. Maybe you've had to wait to start a family or escape an abusive relationship. Maybe you've had to wait while looking for the right house or the right job. Or maybe you've had to endure the waiting which comes when a loved one slowly starts to slip away right before your very eyes. God's people know that waiting is just something we have to do sometimes. But we also know that we don't wait in vain. God hears our prayers, he hears our cries, and he knows our hearts. And because God listens to us when we speak to him, we can rest assured that somehow, some way, he will respond to us. As we hear in 1 John 5, verses 14 and 15, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of him. Friends, waiting gets us ready to receive what God has in store for us. But there are good ways to wait, and there are bad ways to wait. And it's how we wait that determines whether we're able to receive what God has in store for each and every one of us with a thankful and a grateful heart. In Matthew 24, Jesus talks about people who'd chosen to wait in the wrong kind of ways. We're told how people ate and drank while Noah patiently built the ark and prepared his family for the coming flood. And we're also told that when Christ returns, it'll surprise people who are simply out doing their everyday routines, whether they're working at their jobs, going to the grocery, having a laugh, whatever. There are right ways to wait, and there are wrong ways to wait. When we prepare our hearts and look forward in hopeful anticipation of what Christ has promised to do, we'll be able to receive his arrival with a thankful and a grateful heart. But when we choose to wait by simply killing time and performing idle tasks, we'll only have ourselves to blame when we miss out on what God is getting ready to do. Now think about professional athletes. They spend a lot of time waiting between seasons and between games, don't they? But how do they spend their time? Well, they condition themselves. They eat the right kind of food. They watch tape and they study plays. They're actively preparing themselves for what comes next, so that when their season starts or that next game begins, they'll be ready and waiting. While this life for us might not be a game, it is a race that we all must run. And how we train and condition ourselves determines how well we run our race. As Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 9, verses 24 through 27, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. When we're training and conditioning ourselves to wait in the right kind of way, we'll be better prepared for whatever it is that God has in store for us next. And that's how God wants to find all of us, friends. He doesn't want to find us lazy, out of shape, and unable to recognize the sound of his voice. He wants to find us ready. He wants to find us focused. And he wants to find us committed to our calling. When we wait in the right kind of way, that's how God will find us. And friends, he'll be pleased with us when he does. Now, in a moment of self-reflection and self-confession here, I'll admit to you that I've gotten a little out of shape lately. The COVID diet lasted a little bit longer than it should have. You know, and while I've got a lot to do to improve my physical condition, I know that I need to have the same mindset when it comes to my spiritual condition as well. Because if I'm not training myself in developing the right kind of habits, I'll never be ready to receive what God is doing in my life with a thankful and grateful heart. I need less of those things that distract me from my race and more time spent with the one who wants to help me run it well. That's who I want to give my heart, soul, mind, and strength to. What about you? As we find ourselves waiting once again for the excitement of Christmas Day, there's going to be a lot of things vying for our attention. Shopping, movie marathons, church events, oh brother, parties at work, gatherings with family and friends, travels on the road or even in the air. There is no shortage of things to do during this time of the year. But are we doing what really counts? Are we doing what really matters? Are we spending our time waiting, watching, and preparing ourselves for Jesus? One of my favorite scriptures from the Christmas story comes right after Jesus' birth and the shepherd's arrival. From Gabriel's announcement to that night in the manger, Mary had endured 9 months of waiting, watching, and preparation. She understood enough of what was about to happen, but even she didn't grasp the fullness of it all until that night in Bethlehem. And after everything had transpired, and after she was holding this newborn babe in her arms, Mary wanted to make sure that she didn't lose sight of what had just happened, and that she wanted to prepare herself for everything that would soon come. And to do that, the Bible says, Mary treasured up all these things, and she pondered them in her heart. If we're being honest with ourselves, we've probably missed the mark that Mary set on that silent night long ago, haven't we? Instead of spending our time pondering the meaning of Christmas and preparing ourselves to receive the greatest gift of all, we've allowed the chaos of Christmas to take our focus instead. And you know, that's really easy to do since Christmas is anything but a religious holiday for the world in which we live. But folks, it doesn't have to be that way for us. When we listen to Jesus' words out of Matthew 24 and reflect on Mary's example out of Luke 2, we can see how our lives can be transformed when we learn to wait well. And we wait well by pondering, reflecting, and focusing all of who we are, heart, mind, soul, and strength, on God's goodness and his love. Today's scripture helps us to remember that faith is really more than simply what we do, but rather it's how we point ourselves towards Christ and prepare our souls to receive what he has to give us. And what he has to give us, friends, is himself. That's the real gift of Christmas. It's not a thing, it's not a feeling, it's the giving of God's one and only Son for you, me, and the rest of our world. How in the world, though, do we prepare ourselves to receive this kind of gift? What in the world can we offer in return for something and someone as wonderful as this? Now, our world might offer some answers to these questions, but I don't think any of those answers are going to be totally sufficient. Because it might tell us that in order to prepare, we've got to put up lots of decorations, max out our credit cards, and show up to everything we get invited to. But is that what God really desires from us during this or any other time of the year? Will these worldly rhythms and routines do anything to prepare us for the coming of the Christ child? Will commercials and products provide us with something that we can offer in return for God's one and only Son? Friends, our impatient world isn't going to take the time to offer sufficient answers to these questions. A world that shuns self-reflection and prayerful pondering doesn't know what to do with true thankfulness and gratitude. It can only tell us that if we're thankful for something that somebody has given us, then we need to give them something in return. And the bigger and more expensive the gift we can give, the better for it. But God's not like us, at least not in that way. God doesn't need your jewelry. He doesn't desire your cards or your candy. And really and truly, he doesn't need anything. But there is one thing that he wants. And that's you. All of you. Heart, mind, soul, and strength. Time and time again, we try to give God everything except that which he really wants. In the coming weeks, we'll buy gifts, spend money, and show up to all kinds of events thinking in some small way that this is what Christ desires of us at Christmas. Friends, those are the easy things we can give him. The things that don't take much time, effort, or planning. But what about the things that do take time? What about the things that do require planning and preparation? What about the things that are very, very costly? Last year, I came across a hauntingly beautiful Christmas carol that I truthfully had never heard before, but I'm sure many of you know it. It's called In the Bleak Midwinter, and it's based on an English poem from the late 1800s that describes the night that Christ was born. And as you move throughout this poem and this carol, the writer describes this scene as someone bearing witness to all these wonderful and miraculous events happening right there in the manger. But in the final stanza, the tone shifts. And instead of another third-person description of this night, the writer offers a first-person response to the birth of this child. Now, this sounds a lot more beautiful when it's sung, but I'm not about to subject you to that for me this morning, so go look it up after this. But the final stanza goes like this. What can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet what can I give him? Give my heart. Our hearts. That's what we can give him. We don't need a full schedule to satisfy his desires, and we don't need armfuls of gifts either. All that God wants are hearts that are ready and waiting to receive him, just as he is ready and waiting to receive us. In Jeremiah 29:13, God says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. This world asks so much from us during this time of the year. So much, in fact, that by the time we reach Christmas Day, it seems as though we're running on empty. But friends, don't empty your hearts for things and people that can't refill them. But rather, keep your hearts full by seeking after God's goodness and his love. Would you pray with me?